I've got three grown children, and I watch them, and as the world around them pokes, pushes and prods them to buy bigger, better, faster, greater things. That's no different to all of us in Australia, I think. We're poked and pushed, and our country, I think, is a restless country. We're full of dissatisfaction and unhappiness. And where I was in Redfern, the greatest pastime of everybody was shopping. People moved house every 5 or 6 years. And I think it's very easy for us as Christians to actually get caught up in that same trap and to be influenced by the world's restlessness and dissatisfaction and unhappiness. To become like Israel out in the wilderness, who grumbled all the way as God rescued them out of slavery to bring them into the promised land. We can be like that. And I just want to focus on that one verse, verse 3, and I hope that this morning it'll issue in great contentment and satisfaction that should result from the Christian life if we can but grab hold of the words that are here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Instead of restlessness and dissatisfaction, if we can grab hold of these truths in this verse, we'll see that in Christ we have every ground for satisfaction and contentment, a contentment that will free us for the actions that the rest of the letter wants to tell us to take up. So verse 3 deals with every spiritual blessing, all the blessings of God, all the spiritual blessings of God are spoken of here in the passage. And he says in verse 4, before the foundation of the world, and verse 10, to the fullness of God's time. So here's all the blessings of God from beginning to end. All the blessings that God has for his people. That's what's on view. So Paul writes the letter to help us understand what is our inheritance. Now, you might recall it's a general letter. Some of the best manuscripts don't have the word Ephesus in verse 1. That is, you could write in St. Cyprian's Narrabri. It's a letter for you. And he starts in verse 3 with God himself. God is praised. Not so much God be praised, but God is praised. He's worthy. And I think the problem for a lot of people today is they look in the wrong place for the satisfaction that they're seeking. They look within themselves, or to their possessions, or to some romance, or some friendship, which are always ultimately dissatisfying because it's God who's the source of contentment. It's God we've got to look to. He's the one we've got to get to know, and what he's done for us, so that then we'll understand ourselves and our lives. So Paul starts with God. That's who he wants us to know about. If you look down in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. Oh, I'm sorry, Robin, I'm supposed to be telling you that, aren't you? But you're doing very well, aren't you? Yes, that's good. I forgot. I'm sorry. But that's Paul's goal, his aim, his desire is to know God better. And in verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might think, hey, that's a funny thing to say. Yeah, the Father of Jesus, but the God of Jesus? I mean, isn't Jesus God? Okay, Father, but the God of Jesus? How's that work? There is only one God. So why talk about the God of Jesus? But Jesus spoke like that of himself in verse 20:17 in John's Gospel. He said, I must go to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. So in our understanding of the Trinity, one God, three persons, we must take account of the evidence. There is one God, and there are all three persons are equally God, and yet the Son serves his Father as his God. That must be part of our understanding. If it wasn't part of your understanding already this morning, then isn't that great? Paul's prayer is already being answered in you that you might know God better. We must know of God that the Son treats his Father as his God, for he is his God, and yet there's still but one God. And God is blessed, not just as God, but as the God of Jesus. Not the God of Jesus as opposed to other gods, because there's no other gods, but the God of Jesus, because Jesus brings glory and honor and praise to the Father. To put it in Narrabri colloquialism, Jesus is a credit to the old man. More than that, for Jesus reveals God to us and relates God to us. So it's through Jesus that God blesses us. Note the past tense of the blessing. It's not will, but has blessed us. And he's blessed us as the God of Jesus, for it's through Jesus that he blessed us. The blessings of God are then spelled out in some detail, but it's as we know Jesus that we'll see that the blessings of God that are in Jesus are to the praise of God, and we'll understand God better. So what are we told of these blessings that God the Father has brought to us? Well, firstly, where the blessings have occurred, in the heavenly realms. That's the one. It's an unusual word. It's used 5 times in the New Testament, and all of them are in this letter. But you understand, if you think about it, that Christianity is an other world religion. It's about another universe, another world, another existence, another reality. We believe there's more to life than this world. We pray, your kingdom come, the hidden other existence that we've held to. And it's in that context that God has blessed us. It's not just a figment of the imagination, because the other world invaded this world. And you can see it. Well, you could have if you'd been in the right place at the right time of the invasion. It actually took place so people could see, touch, and handle it. For Jesus came from that other existence to this existence. And he lived and he taught and he died and he rose again. And it's in Jesus that Christians come to the conclusion of the other existence, of the other world. And it's in the other world, the heavenly realms, that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Note, friends, this morning, that physical blessings of this world may or may not be part of the Christian life. Now, I actually believe that Christians in this world do enjoy better health than non-Christians, greater financial security, more friends, and a happiness in lifestyle. They are all physical, this world blessings. But there are some Christians who in this world are sick, lonely, imprisoned, unhappy. The promises of God are not that you'll be healthy and wealthy in this world. The promises are that you will be richly blessed, in fact, have been richly blessed in the other existence, the other world. Now, the pagan mind hears this and says, the ones you can see and measure, the amount of food on my plate, that's not promised to me, but the ones you can't even look at are the ones you tell me I've got in abundance. Well, that's neat, isn't it? We'll never know the truth of the matter. But remember, it's not just imagination, but it's based on the person of Jesus. It's not just pie in the sky that we hope for, it's pie in the sky that's been demonstrated by the person of Jesus. If you want to know how we know the evidence of its existence, and the place to look is the person of Jesus. The second attack people have as a response is they say, well, big deal. If you'd promised football, meat pie and Holden cars, and I drive a Holden car now at the front, but they're a great advantage. But you say, I can't be sure of any of these, but in the other world it's marvellous and I've got everything. Well, I'll stick to the good things of this life, for they are what's important. For the heart and mind of the pagan is not open to God, and he's distracted by the things of this world, and that's why he's always dissatisfied and never content and always restless. Because this fallen world can never provide you with the things that make for peace and happiness and contentment. Doesn't matter what you own, it either rusts or it rots or inflation takes over or something better comes along beckoning. But the promises of God are real blessings, They are the blessings of the Spirit of God, spiritual blessings that are truly valuable, blessings that fill with massive satisfaction once you grasp their value. Non-Christian looks, adds it up and says, that's not much. He doesn't understand its value. And what Paul wants us to see in this letter is that we own a diamond mine and diamonds are very valuable. But it's not natural thinking. We think happiness, that's value, right car, job, home, material things are easy to understand as being valuable. But spiritual things are of real value, just harder to grasp. And notice the grounds for contentment. For we are told we've received every spiritual blessing. Mark that, dear friends. We've been blessed with some spiritual blessings? No. With every spiritual blessing. All the blessings that are spiritual are ours. Very important to grab hold of that. Take note, dear lambs. There are many wolves that come dressed as sheep who cast dispersions on the generosity of our Father and say he's only given us some of the blessings of God. But that's not what you see here. If you've received Christ, you've received all the spiritual blessings. And some will come and say, oh, you've received Christ, that's great, but have you received the full account of the spiritual blessings? Well, of course you have, if you've received Christ. For in Christ, you've received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Paul's saying we have already been blessed with them. Some might say, well, it's only the Ephesians he's talking to here. They might be spirit-filled Christians or something. But no, the very nature of the letter is to all Christians in general. But from another point of view, to whom do the spiritual blessings come? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's in Christ that every spiritual blessing comes. That's how they come to his people. It's Christ who pours his Spirit out on his people. It's as I am in Christ that I receive the spiritual blessings. And the idea of Christ being the key here is in every verse. It's in Christ that the spiritual blessings come. Indeed, it's in Christ that all the spiritual blessings come. But what's it mean to be in Christ? Well, I think there are two meanings, and both are true. Being united with Christ, and the way you're united is by faith in him, and by Christ, that Christ is the instrument by which God does his work. So it's by Christ that God blesses us, so God blesses us in Christ and by Christ. So God is praised as the God of Jesus, for we relate to God through Jesus. And all of God's spiritual blessings come to us through and in Jesus. Now, just two errors I think this phrase brings to my mind, and I want to chase them out this morning. Firstly, some say God's not given me everything when I became a Christian. There's yet more spiritual blessings available to me after being in Christ. And Paul says, grab hold already of the truth that in Christ you've already received all the spiritual blessings of the other world. That's why he says down in verse 18, I pray that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparable great power for us. Oh, I would that all Christians would grab hold of, would know, the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his inheritance, his incomparable great power for us. Paul wants us to understand the riches that lie ahead of us, the power of God at work in our lives, the hope that's ours, the inheritance that's ours. He wants us to grab hold of the blessings of God that are ours, ours by inheritance, by the right of Jesus Christ. So too for you, my friends. If we could grab hold of all that Christ has done for us already, then contentment would be ours. a contentment that would burst forth in wonder and praise and amazement at the enormous generosity of our God and Father. How we can't grumble if we'll grab hold of the blessings that come to us in Christ Jesus. And we'd be safeguarded against those who cast dispersions on the generosity of God and say, well, you've become a Christian, that's great, but there's greater things than being in Christ. There are no greater things than being in Christ. For in Christ, you've got it all. The second error that needs chasing out is that people want to have the blessings of God by some other channel than Christ. Want to think that somehow God will bless them without Christ. That it's enough to be good, to be moral, to be right, tolerant, open, trying hard, and Jesus is just a footnote down the bottom. The moral good, that's the way. But be reminded this morning that all the blessings of God come through Jesus. All the blessings of the other world come through Jesus. And it's implied here, which is very clear elsewhere, and in no other way. Salvation is given in no other name than Jesus. Jesus is the only way to the Father. It's implied here what's explicit elsewhere. All the blessings of God come through this one Jesus. For it's by Jesus that God blesses us. And the blessings of God are indivisible. The word blessing is singular. It's the whole blessing of God that comes through Jesus, and therefore it comes no other way, and no other name is of any use, no other source, no other road is available to you. God blesses richly, but the way he blesses us is in Christ. Just marvellous, isn't it? In Christ you get all the blessings, and there's no other way that you can get the blessings than in Christ. What are the blessings? What are the advantages? Well, you need to read on. They're spelt out in the next few verses. All of these things, adoption, election, redemption, the love of God, revelation, assurance, all one blessing, all one indivisible blessing. You can't have one without the other. You can't be a chosen person and not be adopted. You can't be redeemed and not be elected. One great blessing bestowed in Christ Jesus. If you are one of God's people, then in Christ you get the whole lot. Not just part of God's good benefits, but you get everything in Christ. And so we've got it all in Christ. Which leads me to finish with one question. Have you got it all? That is, are you in Christ Jesus? For the passage says, in Christ Jesus, you've got all the blessings of God, but if you're not in Christ Jesus, you haven't got any of it. And you've every reason to feel dissatisfied, as if you've missed out. To be like that rich young ruler. Looks like he's got it all. Youth, wealth, power. Comes to Jesus, falls at his feet and says, what must I do to have eternal life, to have the other world? For he knows he's got nothing, even though materially he has everything. If you haven't Christ, you haven't anything. So the question's crucial. Are you in Christ Jesus? For without him you've nothing, and in Christ you've everything. If you're not sure, settle the matter today. Talk to Timmy. Be happy to talk to you while we're having a cuppa. If you're here this morning and you are in Christ Jesus, and you still feel dissatisfied to think you've missed out and feel cheated, well, what you lack is knowledge. For you have received Christ Jesus as Lord and Saviour. You have been blessed by God with all the spiritual blessings. You own the diamond mine. You just don't know the value of diamonds yet. And so what you need is knowledge. Keep pondering the passage. It's chock-a-block full of goodies. Keep persevering in your Bible studies and KYB. For in Christ you are so rich. It's unbelievable. And it's worth finding out about. And that knowledge will enable you to cope in this life with contentment and satisfaction. Let me just pray. Oh, Lord God, we pray that you'll help us to keep pondering the great riches that you've given us in your Son, Jesus. Help us to put a stop to our lips so we don't grumble. but we praise you that we might be overwhelmed with the magnificence of your incredible generosity and the way you have already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in your wonderful Son who loved us, died for us, and rose and purchased that place in heaven for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus. Amen.